Hello, everybody, and welcome to another goddamn episode of our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Caroline.
I'm Jeff. Ah, people, if you only knew what we'd been through.
I know. I said it that we're the Shags of podcasting, but, like, they got their album out, man.
Yeah, but you know what? We're here with fresh software, untested, but...
Well, tested a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, brief tested.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't know how much this software can be trusted.
Yeah.
So we're just, you know, going balls out here. Hopefully everything turns out okay.
We can only hope.
Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, here we are with quality content for you.
Oh, yeah.
Loyal listener.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about today, Caroline?
We are talking about shellac.
Mm.
We are back in Albini waters, my friend.
Albini land.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the amusement park I want to go to.
Not action big, park.
Yeah, big animatronic Steve Albini yelling at you about like artistic integrity.
Right. Racist dogs.
Yeah, wearing a fucking hat. he did grow out of his hat. He used to wear a hat. He grew
fedora,
out of it.
No less.
I know. Thank God he grew out of it before the cultural significance of that really happened.
Yeah, I feel like the fedora is on the way out, actually.
It's gotta be.
As like
a
symbol of like douchey masculinity.
Yeah, because I definitely feel like the only person that I know in real life that wears a fedora is Andrew, and that's a whole different attitude.
Andrew pulls
because
it off.
He pulls it off because he actually like puts effort into his appearance. He doesn't put the fedora on and be like, "All right, I'm done.
I look good."
Yeah, no, like he actually cares about like clothes and how he looks and stuff.
Yeah, he's a snazzy man.
Y'all, if you knew how snappy of a dresser,
you know that
song, Andrew was.
You know that song, "Sharp Dress Man."
I do.
That song is about Andrew.
I might have sung that to him at some point somewhere.
I'm sure you did.
Probably.
So shellac is a band with friend of the podcast Steve Albini.
Mm-hmm.
Recurring theme of the podcast, Steve Albini.
Yep.
He's sort of a motif for us.
He's just like, you know, somebody to look up to and be like, yeah, man, we owe a lot to you.
Yeah. I don't know if look up to Steve Albini is quite what we should do, but...
No, but we say, you know, we owe
sure.
stuff to Steve Albini.
He is
and
an
he's,
important
he's
artistic figure in our lives, for sure.
Yes, and he's done great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's probably an okay dude now. I don't know if that was always the case. But you know what? Also, I don't really care if he is or not, because, you know, when you made Atomizer, do what you want
Lifetime
after that.
Lifetime
pass, musically. I mean, I might not want to hang out with you, but...
Mm-hmm.
Although, I probably would. I'm sure I would hang out with Steve Albini and have
sure.
a great time.
I bet he's fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, he's not, I don't think he's as likely to harangue you about stupid bullshit these days.
Nah. He probably just wants to talk about, like, exotic coffees. And,
he likes to cook.
He does like to cook.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real man right there.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, why'd you say it if you didn't know?
I don't know. Well, I spent my whole morning looking at memes by men's rights activists.
Oh, no.
I gotta tell you, here's one thing that these guys are very afraid of. And it's really elaborate. So, let's say that you go out with a woman, you're having a wonderful time, you take this lady home or she takes you home. It's a modern world. Anything could happen. And you consummate this evening. And then but bro, you gotta make sure that when you take that condom off, you gotta flush it down the toilet yourself, because if you don't, she's gonna take it out of the trash. She's gonna put that semen up in herself somehow. She's going to impregnate herself, and then she's gonna have you on the hook for child support for 18 years.
God, women are the worst.
I know,
Yeah,
right?
they're always pulling some devious shit
They're
like that.
like super villains.
So this is like a common theme in MRA memery?
It's a fear. There's a lot of weird sexual shit. There's a lot of themes of what people in the business call cock and ball torture. Old CBT, not cognitive behavioral therapy. I've made that mistake.
Well, the former could be an example of the latter, perhaps.
I suppose that's true. There's a lot of 12-inch heels stomping on, big male chests. It's a lot of leather outfits. It's weird, bro.
So, like, their vision of women is like,
Dominatrix.
man, there's some weird psychological stuff going on there,
It's
huh?
yeah, and then you look at the whole cuck thing. It's all just like an entire century of just bizarre sexual anxiety just coming out.
Oh, it's almost kind of tragic in a way.
Yeah, it kind of is. Interesting thing. I didn't see a lot about lesbians, but whenever I did see a cartoon of a feminist, she always had a friend that was obviously a caricature of a lesbian.
Right.
So we're just putting ideas in heads.
That's the thing, are MRAs cool with lesbians because they don't think they'll fuck with you? Or are
No,
they like, are there even
no,
because they
because.
won't fuck with us?
Yes, and also because we're the ones whispering in straight women's ears, you don't deserve to die if you're fat and things like that. So,
Sure.
yeah. So, sorry, everybody. I didn't realize what I had done.
You're the worst.
There's a whole TV show about it.
So let's establish this at the forefront of the episode. Big Black is better than shellac, right? I mean, you concur with me on that. Yeah.
And I like shellac a lot,
Of course.
but you calm down as you age, and that, I mean, when you started out with just unbridled, unhinged rage, just getting thrown at me. How do you top that?
Well, that's the thing. Big Black was maniacal, you
Oh
know?
yeah,
Like, they were
ferocious,
ferocious.
like
Yes,
feral.
exactly. That's the right word. And shellac, they're cerebral. They're a little more restrained. They have a certain, like, mathematical precision, you know, that almost reminds me of Wire a little bit. Like,
Yes.
it's very rigid and every note is in the right place.
They're a lot like Wire. I think I mean, I'm sure that this is true anyway, but I've definitely read that Steve Albini is a big Wire fan.
Yeah, I do know that. And I think just sort of their approach, not necessarily in terms of song lengths, but their approach to songwriting is sort of similar, I think.
Yeah, their approach to the way that the instruments are gonna interact with each other and their sense of rhythm, shit like that.
Yes.
That's what songwriting is.
And there's almost kind of a lot of teasing with shellac.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, we were just talking about these women and all what they do, but when's Steve Albini gonna answer for this?
yeah, when.
You know, I'm listening to shellac, I'm getting ready to nut and just, you know, I never get there.
There's something very unsettling about you using that phrase, I have to say.
I know. I regretted it as soon as it came out of my mouth.
It's all right. I've said dumber things on this podcast for sure.
You were probably, I probably goaded you.
But yeah, there's a there's just this weird kind of abstraction in their songwriting where like they never quite want to like let loose and give you the goods, you know?
Yeah, and that's where they lose me a little bit. It's like you just want them to go just like a little bit further
Go ham.
over the edge, go ham, and they just like they get so close, but they don't get there.
Right. And
Like
that's by
the
design, I
engine
think.
doesn't totally turn over.
Right.
It's absolutely by design. I know what they're doing. I'm
Yeah,
just, yeah.
yeah. I mean, everything about shellac feels very intentional. Like, I think Steve Albini knows exactly what he's doing, basically.
This is a guy I think that does not do stuff by accident.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he does. He's only human. But if he had it his way, that wouldn't be what would happen.
But there's a lot to love about shellac. I mean, first of all, they do rock. I mean,
Yeah.
they have their moments of catharsis, I suppose. Even if it's not quite as cathartic as Big Black.
Sure.
I think what I really appreciate about shellac is their sense of humor. Which Big Black had a sense of humor, but it was sort of a dark, like, like a fatalistic sort of, what the fuck is wrong with humanity, like bleak black humor.
Yeah.
Whereas Shellac's sense of humor is just absurd a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Downright whimsical, even in certain occasions.
I have a plan.
Right. Like something like Wing Walker.
Yeah.
And that's something I like about Shellac probably more than I do Big Black is
Yeah.
they make me laugh.
Yeah.
Both in their lyrics and I feel like just their music is funny a lot of the time. Like just their compositional choices can often be very funny. The way they just kind of start and stop songs and that first song on Terraform, for instance, is kind of funny.
Oh, you don't say.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But just like the way they write songs almost is a tease sometimes, and like that tease is funny, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yes, it
You
does.
get what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying,
Cool.
and I agree with you.
Yeah, shellac's a good band.
They're a very good band, y'all.
What are you doing? Listen to them.
Yeah, like if you listen to this podcast, for one thing, I'm pretty sure you've probably listened to Shellac
Sure.
if you've listened to this podcast. But if you haven't, and if you like, you know, a bunch of pencil necks really going at it, what are you doing? Come on.
Yep.
If you like Travis Bean guitars, have I got a band for you? The Grateful Dead, but no. Shellac.
Speaking of the Grateful Dead,
Yeah. I always am.
I think I've told you this story before, but
I want to hear it.
I've seen Shellac a few times live. First of all, they are a great, great fucking live band. Probably one of the best I've ever seen. Like, they are incredibly tight. And I have to give a lot of the credit for that to Todd Trainer, who is an amazing drummer. And like,
dude, he's one of the best drummers alive.
Mm. And you can really see it when you see them live. But one thing that they do is they take questions and answers from the crowd between songs.
Mm-hmm.
And usually their answers are hilarious. But somebody asked, what's your favorite Grateful Dead show?
That's so specific.
And Bob Weston went, what's my favorite Grateful Dead show? Fuck you.
Oh, man. That's great. I love it.
I think I've told them. They answered a question about Frank Zappa one time also.
I know I forgot it. So please tell me.
I don't know if I can do it justice because it was an amazing answer, but
just don't tease me like this.
Somebody asked, what's your favorite Frank Zappa song? And Steve Albini was like, man, that's a difficult question because there are so many Frank Zappa songs and they're all so bad. And then he went like, listening to Frank Zappa is like having a music student jab a pencil in your ear while laughing at you for not knowing the difference between a kalimba and a thumb piano.
That is so true.
Isn't it?
It's really true. And I love it. Look, you know I love Frank Zappa, but when people take him down, it's just poetic. Like when Tom Sharpling really gives him the business. Mm-hmm. It's pure poetry. It's beautiful.
Somebody asked Bob Weston what his favorite band was, and he said Fugazi.
You know what? Sounds about right. Mm-hmm. If you told me to list this band, you said, what's their favorite band? I would say, well, one guy probably Wire, other guy probably Fugazi.
And his favorite Fugazi album?
Is it Steady Diet or Nothing?
No. It's The Argument, actually.
The Argument's really good. Can't blame them.
That's when they totally went soft. What?
I don't know. I spent my whole morning looking at these fucking men's rights activists, so I hear went soft, and I'm just like, that's American masculinity nowadays, right, bro?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So let's talk about these year records.
Yes! So, 1994, at Action Park, not named for the famous New Jersey amusement park where a bunch of people died, which makes me very proud to be from New Jersey. I never went to Action Park. I was alive during its existence, but I grew up 5 minutes away from Six Flags Great Adventure, so I really had no use for it. And also, my parents probably were aware of the fact that I probably would have died had I gone there. And my parents loved me, so they didn't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Man, Action Park. That's just a fascinating story.
The fucking loop-de-loop water slide.
Oh my god. I remember showing a picture of that to Paige, and she just like burst out laughing like as soon as I showed it to her. Like,
and she
how
was
could
right.
anyone possibly so, think this is a good idea?
And it looks so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I love it.
That's pretty wonderful. Folks, just go ahead and like look at the Wikipedia page for Action Park if you don't know what we're talking about.
Vernon, New Jersey.
I hate to trivialize the loss of life, but
I don't.
Well, I'm a better person than Caroline, so I do.
Yeah.
But it's sort of hilarious.
Yeah.
Like how shitty and terrible Action Park was.
Yes.
And how their
they tried to bring it back.
They
tried
deaths.
To bring it back like 2 years ago, and the world said no.
Yeah. Justly so. They should
Yeah.
at least rename it.
Yeah.
Be like Fun Park or something.
Yeah, man, come on.
Because Action Park, I think, triggers a lot of negative associations.
Oh, you
Like
think?
death and horrible injury. So.
Just getting maimed.
Right.
But the thing is because I grew up 5 minutes away from Six Flags Great Adventure, I know people are dying left and right at even the best of amusement parks. So.
I think in Ad Action Park's case, not Ad Action Park.
Yeah, it was named
Ad Action
after.
Park.
Yep.
I think in Action Park's case, a lot of those deaths and injuries were because of the incompetence and just reckless disregard of the staff.
Perhaps.
Whereas, I mean, I don't know how it happens at other theme parks, but I do know at Carowinds, like there was a dude that died on a roller coaster because he intentionally didn't put his harness down, because he wanted the ride to be more thrilling.
Well, I guess he got his.
Well, I suppose the finally discovering the mysteries of the afterlife is kind of thrilling.
I, yeah, it's gotta be.
I mean, we all want to know, right?
I do.
Well, here I am trivializing the loss of life again.
Yeah, well, we all die.
Sure.
If you can't laugh at it, you're losing. But anyway,
Then the man has gotten to you.
this Ad Action Park, this is a great record.
It's pretty good.
It's really, this is my favorite. This one, like, for all my complaining about how they don't go over the top with their rockin', this is where they'll get there. And you
See,
also have really weird instrumentation. It sounds great. It's just great, bro.
I disagree. I think they get the most rocking done on 1000 Hertz. This record, first of all, I should say, I don't know if any of Shellac's records, don't know if I truly love them.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that's fair.
I could kind of do without them. Like, I mean, I like having them around and I listen to them sometimes, but I feel like their music is just a little too cold for me to like really embrace, I guess.
Sure.
Or just a little too what's the word I'm looking for?
Sterile.
Not even sterile, like Brechtian almost. Like it's like it's trying to push you away a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's trying to distance you from it.
Probably. They don't want you to get too close. You might hurt them.
Right. Exactly. And then you might take their semen and impregnate yourself with it.
That's what I'm planning to do.
To Steve Albini. Trying to have that Albini baby.
Yep.
Did you like that?
I did.
That was right off the top of the dome.
Well, that's why we're bros, bro. Yep, I want to have just an ornery, mean baby that just has a natural gift for audio engineering.
Speaking of babies, can I tell you about a horrifying experience I had last night?
Did it involve a
It
baby?
did.
Okay, yes, I want to hear this then.
I went to a party last night,
Sure.
and this dude came over with a baby. Like
Was
a
it his?
yeah. Like a
Well,
year.
that's good.
I later found out. Well, my friend just rented a new house, so it was sort of like a housewarming party for him. And
Sure.
I found out this guy was the landlord later, which horrified me even further. But yeah, this dude brought his baby over, which I thought was very strange because, you know, we're like drinking and smoking cigarettes and stuff.
Sure.
So I feel like it's probably not like a great environment for a baby. But, you know, whatever. I was letting it go. And then I'm sort of talking to this dude, and in the middle of our conversation, he takes the beer and he feeds his baby beer.
What?
He literally just takes this beer can and holds it up to his baby's lips and, like, pours some beer down her throat.
What?
And he's like, she loves beer.
Oh my god, that's like in Beethoven's Second when they're pouring the beer over Beethoven.
You're right, it's exactly like that, Caroline. I was horrified. I had no idea what to do. I've never been in this situation before, you have to understand.
That's so horrific.
Yeah, what I went with is I just got up and left the room.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have said something, I don't know. But
well, I really feel like if you said something, that wouldn't change that guy's behavior.
I mean, he's still going to have that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very weird and uncomfortable, and I hated it.
Yeah, man, that's... Wow.
What would you do in that situation?
I would do the same thing you did. I would just leave. I would just leave and then talk about it later.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did.
Because I really feel like... Like, the baby's mother wasn't there.
No.
To be like, are you seeing this? Are you allowing this?
Oh, also at one point in our conversation, he went like, hey, yep, that's my daughter. At least I'm pretty sure it is. We haven't gotten that DNA test yet. We're going to get that DNA test, right, baby?
He said that to the baby?
Yeah.
God, this guy sounds like a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty, yeah, I mean, that was, questionable, but then the beer thing happened, and I was like, alright, I'm gonna excuse myself.
Jeff.
From all of this.
Jeff.
Huh?
Will you promise me that if you have a child, you will be a better father?
That's a pretty low bar. I mean...
I need you to clear it.
I feel like by default, I'm already a better father than this child.
Yeah, well, you haven't put a child in any sort of peril that I know of.
I mean, I guess when I was a kid, my dad would let me take sips of his beer, like at
But dinner. That's when you were a kid.
Right,
Not a baby.
Right.
Like, when I was, like, you know, 7 or 8, yeah, my dad would let me have a sip of his Budweiser, and I didn't like it, and that was the fucking end of it.
All right.
A baby doesn't have the facilities to say, no, Dad, I don't like it.
Right.
Or to be like, ugh, which is probably what I did back then because I wasn't so articulate.
Sure.
What band are we talking about again?
We're talking about Shellac.
Okay.
Specifically at Action Park.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that song Crow?
Mm-hmm.
The song rules.
That's probably the best song on the
show.
Although, I have to say, I feel like they did Crow slightly better with Wing Walker, which came out a little later. It's kind of got a similar rhythm with that, like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
I feel like a lot of their songs have a similar rhythm to
well,
that.
Well, I feel like those two in particular.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
And Wing Walker is awesome.
Wing Walker is awesome.
And not on any of their albums, unfortunately.
No, but it's really great. If you haven't heard Wing Walker, please do. It features the future father of my child, Steve Albini, yelling about being a plane.
It's fine.
is when they played it live, like they had like a mid-song breakdown where like Bob and Steve both like held their arms out like planes and went like meow. It was hilarious.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
It's sort of hard to convey, but
that's so cute.
That's what I'm talking about Shellac's sense of humor. Like they, just
I would
have this
jump up on
sense
stage and hug them both.
Mm.
I wouldn't, but I would think about. I would want to.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about the Shellac live show, you know, I saw them at like a festival where most of the bands had a very elaborate, like, or not necessarily very elaborate, but. They definitely had, like, a light show, like, a multicolored light show, like, swooping around, like, doing
sure.
all sorts of shit while they're playing.
And I can't imagine Shellac would fall for that.
Shellac just has bright white light unchanging the entire set.
They'd better.
Right. And that fits them, you know? It fits that sort of austere, like...
They're just so, like, Spartan.
Right.
That for them... Like, Todd Trainer is the only one that I feel like has any kind of, like, flair to him.
Joie de vivre.
Yeah, I don't want to say, like, magnetism or anything like that, because I don't think that's true. I mean, people have been fascinated by Steve Albini for 35 years. Mm. So, it's not that, but he, like, I mean, Todd Trainer is a rock star a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting when you look at them because Steve and Bob Weston, they both look like audio engineers.
Like nerds.
Yeah, and Todd Trainer looks like a guy in a rock and roll band, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of funny, the little mix they have there.
Yeah, it's cute.
Man, Shellac really needs to come down here.
Yeah! Give me that chance, man, to see them.
They never come to North Carolina. It's a real bummer.
They must not like it here. What did we do to them?
We're in the South.
Yeah, but, like, Steve Albini used to live in the fucking Midwest. He lived in, like, Montana.
Yep.
I mean, jeez.
Who lives in Montana?
Wilford Brimley, I think.
My brother was thinking about living in Montana.
And then he actually thought about it and said no.
Yeah, he said it's really pretty up there.
Look, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You gotta have more than that.
It is for some people, man.
Not me.
So yeah, Crow is good. What else is good on At Action Park?
The Idea of North.
Okay.
The Nice Instrumental. Mm. Song of the Minerals, their pro-cutting song.
Pro-cutting song.
That's what it is! Yeah. Cut yourself up and down, down your arms, both arms. It's none of my business. It's all right if it makes you feel better. That's Steve Albini giving you the go-ahead.
Well, Song of the Minerals has a wonderful bass line, for sure.
Yes, it does. It's a great song.
And The Idea North has wonderful drumming.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Uh-huh.
We have a minute.
Oh, yeah, a minute.
More than a minute, but it's really good.
It's one of their two-sectioned songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a few
yeah, they
words.
Like to change it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate that about them.
You never know what a Shellac song is gonna become. Unless it's the first song on Terraform, in which case you know exactly what it's gonna do.
But we're gonna talk about
that. For the entire 12 minutes.
We haven't talked about the opener, My
oh,
Black Ass,
My
which
Black
is a great
ass.
Song. With
sure.
a stupid title.
Well, you know.
You know what
Steve's always had a fascination with race for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it's sophomoric at best, I think.
Well, you know, he's got passing complexion, which is about, you know, black people who are light-skinned enough to pass as white.
Yeah, we have Seth, that's just
Seth,
a racist
Seth
dog.
The racist dog.
We have that thing he wrote about Odd Future like 5 years ago.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
That was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to call one of his EPs Hey N-Word.
Yeah, that would have been really stupid.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that everybody else in his life talked him out of it.
That's right. His bandmates were like, "Please don't do that, Steve Albini."
Yeah, I'm glad that like Santiago Durango is like, "I'm not putting up with this."
Right.
I'm gonna become a lawyer if you do this. And then he didn't do it, but then he became a lawyer anyway.
Yeah.
Shows you can't trust nobody.
You can't trust lawyers, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Take it from me.
Yeah, you're entering the legal field.
Yeah. I'm going to become a lackey for
a tool
the
of the devil.
Yep. Tool of the devil's advocate.
Exactly. You're all working for the devil.
But yeah.
You could just get involved in, like, I don't know, zoning law or something like that.
That's kind of what I want to do.
Yeah, that's not too.
I really don't like litigation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't like. Well,
there's too much at stake.
Yeah, I don't like fighting.
Right.
And that's essentially what it is. It's legally sanctioned fighting. I don't like pressure. Which kind of means that I'm going into the wrong field to begin with. But if I'm just doing zoning laws, if I'm just writing fucking deeds for people, that's fine. Everybody's gonna be fine.
Yeah, we all need deeds.
Yeah, if you're gonna buy property, you do.
You know who really needed deeds?
Mr. Deeds?
That's exactly right. I have that movie on a pan and scan DVD.
That's the only way to watch it.
Pan and scan.
A pan and scan DVD at a beach house owned by your parents' friends.
That's the way to watch Mr. Deeds.
Yep. That's the way I learned it.
Man, you remember last time we hung out and we watched Big Daddy?
I do. And it was like 2 in the morning.
That movie is dog shit.
It's so bad.
It's like not even kind of funny.
And I saw it like so many times as a kid because we had it on VHS.
And so it's scan VHS.
It had to be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I was getting a widescreen VHS?
Maybe. They had a few.
Yeah, I'm sure like the Seventh Seal.
Well, the Seventh Seal was in Academy Ratio to begin with, so...
I know. But...
Just throwing understand. That out there.
You understand.
What else about At Action Park?
Dog and Pony Show?
Alright.
That's some pounding.
Yeah, that pounds alright.
Yeah, and then it stopped. It was like...
It pounds like Steve Albini before you steal his semen to impregnate yourself and bilk him for child support.
And lots of it. That kid is gonna live like a non-gendered monarch.
The lap of luxury.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That Steve Albini money.
Yeah. And
how
I'm
much
gonna...
money do you think Steve Albini has? Is he rich?
I doubt it. I think he
runs a studio and it seems like he's always got work.
I think he's doing well, but I don't think he's doing like, you know, he could retire kind of well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think he lives comfortably.
Sure.
And... I don't begrudge him that, especially because I'm going to be bilking him out of those child support payments. That lack comes to North Carolina.
Yep.
Because I'm sure that his entire life, all Steve Albini's ever wanted to do was fuck a woman that looked exactly like him.
I mean,
And that's where I come in.
Steve Albini does love himself a lot.
Yeah.
So.
That's where I come in.
That's where I come in.
You want a lady with big boobs that looks just like you? Here I am.
It's me with tits.
Yep. Yep, he's going to see me in that crowd. It's going to be like Courtney Cox in the Dancing in the Dark video. Now we'll talk about who's a plane.
And Action Park is good.
It's very good.
It's very good. You know what? Sure. It's very good.
Come on.
I'll give it very good.
I went through a phase a few years ago where I was listening to shellac a lot. And this was definitely the jewel in my crown.
Alright. Well, I think most people agree with you that this is the best shellac album.
Yep.
I guess 1000 Hertz is its only real competition.
Yeah.
But most people seem to fall on the side of this one. You want to talk about Terraform?
I do.
So, when you talk about Terraform, one thing kind of sticks out.
Oh, you mean that 12-minute fucking song that opens it?
That's what I was referring to, yeah. Didn't we deserve a look at you the way you really are?
This sounds like a men's rights activist
anthem. It kind of does, actually. It's 12 minutes. It's almost entirely driven by two bass notes. With some occasional guitar doodling.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of breaks, but mostly just that.
Yep.
What do you think of this song, Caroline?
You know what? When we lay it all out there, it sounds like garbage, but it's not, because you got a little guy named Todd Trainer who just has these subtle changes throughout the whole thing that are electrifying to me. Right?
It is really impressive that he sort of subtly changes the drumming patterns over the course of the song, and they catch different parts of the bass line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they emphasize different parts of the bass, so it, mm-hmm. like, it almost sounds like a different riff, even though it isn't.
Yes. And, like, this, you know, like, this, it gives it, like, momentum so that, I mean, I'm ready for the song to be over.
Yeah.
By minute 11. But, like, it really does give it this momentum that that justifies it being long, if yeah. not that long.
The kind of gradual evolution of the song is interesting.
Yeah, and that's something that they're really good at. It's just like this gradual evolution. Something that Todd Trainer needs to get his due. It's one of the best drummers alive.
For sure. This is a good example of what I was talking about how just like their songs, like not even the lyrics, just like the music can be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like this almost seems like trolling a little bit, like opening your second album with a 12-minute song consisting of two bass notes.
I feel like it was to some degree. Mm-hmm. At least.
I don't know if I would call it entirely successful.
It is long.
It could stand to be a few minutes shorter. Like, I think at 9 or 10 minutes I could deal with it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I'm done by the time it's over, though, most of the time. They used to play it at shows. I've read about other people going to shellac shows and them playing all 12 minutes of it.
Did they get bored and then they stopped doing it?
Apparently they used to close the show with it sometimes, and they would be like, this song's really long, you can go ahead and leave now if you want, or something like that.
I love them so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I love them being realistic about who they are.
There's no delusions with these guys.
How could there be? Mm. This is a no-bullshit kind of band.
That's right. So I feel like the rest of the record kind of stands in its shadow.
Yeah.
Terraform is probably their least discussed record, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. But I think it's a good record, but
sure,
definitely is one that's overshadowed by the one before it and the one after it.
Well, you kind of have to listen to the other seven songs separately to get a grip on them, because like you're sort of exhausted after Didn't We Deserve a Look at You is over.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're not really in the mood to listen to the rest of the record.
Yeah.
But when you do, you'll discover that it's full of little shellac gems, just like all their other stuff.
Yeah.
What do you like on here?
I love Rush Job.
Rush Job, sure.
It's just got that do-do-do-do-do-do. It's just got that great forward momentum, and I swear to God, there's these little vocals in the song that sound like Mark Hoppus.
Like Mark Hoppus.
Of Blink-182. It doesn't sound like that, but like do you get what I mean?
I guess.
It really sounds like that to me. I swear I'm not stupid.
Have you seen on YouTube there's a 100-hour loop of Tom DeLonge's verse on I Miss You?
I didn't know that. It sounds horrible.
You know, the where are you? And yeah. I'm so sorry.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Good.
I would hate to listen to that for any longer than I need to, which is not at all.
Harry used to put it on at parties and see how long it took people to notice.
That's a pretty good gag. But I just love it. I mean, I feel like the most pandering lyric in music history is "We can live like Jack and Sally if you want." This came out in 2003. This was peak hot topic, my friend.
Right.
Peak Jack Skellington merchandise.
That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as pandering as the image overhaul that Green Day went through before American Idiot, though.
Yeah.
I mean, in retrospect, that seems so painfully obvious. Like, oh, okay, they had to update their look for today's emo generation.
That Billy Joe, he's wearing a piece, right?
Probably.
It looks like one to me. Well, I don't know what he looks like lately, but like 2004... That thing was a wig.
Well, they're getting old.
Yeah, and you know, like, it's okay to be bald.
Mm-hmm. Well, not if you're a rock and roller.
See, I feel like people gotta embrace it. Like, just be like, Ian McKay is bald.
Yeah, he's always been bald, though.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, you don't see him trying to act like he's anything else.
Mm.
He's a bald guy. He's gonna live with it.
Baldy's gonna bald.
Baldy's gonna bald, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Bradford's going bald. I don't think he's, like, having a great time with it.
Well, Monomania has two references to going bald.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of a concept album about baldness.
Yeah, and he did wear a hat when we saw them in December.
True. He's taken to wearing hats lately.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I've looked at some recent live videos of them. First of all, they're playing as a six-piece right now.
Really? Who else is on?
I don't know. Just
on
two
the
dudes,
roster.
Two dudes. I don't know. One on keyboards and one on like extra percussion.
Oh, they got a Bob
Nastanovich.
Nastanovich.
Yeah, and they have a Bob Nastanovich.
Is he also like betting on horse races?
Could be. And they're playing different arrangements of songs.
Ooh.
They're doing a weird, like, country-ish version of Dream Captain.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Deer Hunter continues to evolve. I like that.
Happy for them.
Yeah. They're not out. They're touring again, but they're not coming down here because they're a bunch of pricks.
Jerks.
Part of the South they're playing is Maryland. They're not even playing in Georgia.
What?
I know, right? Show your home state some love.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's lame.
I know.
But where I was going with this talk about baldness is, don't you feel like at some point Green Day stopped smoking weed and then they became a bad band?
That's a possible reason, sure.
I
think they were not a great band to begin with.
They were never a great band, but, like, you know, they have a couple of albums that are fun.
Sure.
That I mean, like.
I'll throw down to Basket Case if it comes on.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I'm better than them. But they definitely became a worse band. You know?
That's fair.
Like, it's okay to just be an okay band that has some good songs.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to make these grand sweeping statements about the fucking George W. Bush administration.
They had some pretty deep thoughts, though.
Yeah.
You heard that song, Jesus of Suburbia?
Yes, I have. That was the song I was thinking of.
Soda pop and Ritalin.
Isn't that telling you? It's Adderall now. When did Adderall...
It was Adderall then. They didn't know that, though, because they're not a kid.
Yeah, I guess. See, that's the thing. There's certain things you just can't know. It's like
when
my
friends that used to snort Adderall recreationally.
I know people now that do.
But I mean, like, it seemed like that was really big back in the day.
Well, it was big in college, you know. Mm. Yeah. I never did it.
No.
No. I don't feel... I feel like I would not like speed. Because I have an anxiety disorder, so that's my amphetamines.
Honestly, every time I've tried to take Adderall, like... It's never really had any recreational effects for me. Like, I think I might actually have ADHD. Because it, like, chills me out.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like you might have ADHD. Like, my brother, my one brother got diagnosed with ADHD, and he was, like, 45. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll say, man, I took some Adderall before I went in for, like, a literature exam. For, like, American literature.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the greatest goddamn essays of my life.
Dude,
I think you... Under the influence of Adderall.
Dude, I think you should go to a doctor.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
Do you have health insurance?
No, not currently.
Well, you will again someday.
Yeah. I've been meaning to get back on that Obamacare, but
yeah.
Although apparently it's not doing great right now.
Yeah. And you know, when in Trump's America.
Right.
You can forget it.
When America is great again.
Yep. When America's great again. People like you and I will die of abscess teeth.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
What else is good on Terraform?
House Full of Garbage.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That's
a loose groove of a song.
Yeah, I like a loose groove here and there.
Yeah. Another long bass-driven thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a little more dynamic, maybe.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a little audacious to have two really long songs on a 36-minute album. Uh-huh. But you know, I'm not coming to shellac for to have predictability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not coming to shellac to have the milkman, the paperboy, and evening TV. I don't miss my old familiar friends.
All right.
How many times do you think I've seen every episode of Full House in a lifetime?
I don't know.
Well, it's more than 5 times, I can tell you that.
You've seen every episode of Full House more than 5 times.
Yeah. This was, like, in my younger days.
Right.
And I never liked it. I never thought it was a good show. My brother...
When you were a kid, you would just watch things because they were on.
Yeah, but I definitely remember, like, being a kid, my brother and I would watch the shit out of Full House because it was always on. And we both were just, like, looking at each other like, this show sucks.
But you would watch it.
We would watch it. It was on. And then, like, we kind of... then we would start... My brother and I were so obnoxious. We would start, like, making fun of it. And we did that with Seventh Heaven, too. We would rush home from school to watch Seventh Heaven to make fun of it.
You're so ironic.
I know! I was, like, 11 doing this. I got a head start.
Mm-hmm. You know what song I like?
Mm.
Canada.
Yeah.
Canada kind of slams.
Yeah.
And it's got a lyric about how backwards it's Adanac. And that's funny to me.
That is funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of stuff you get when you listen to shellac.
Right.
Is funny egghead jokes.
And they just have such a dumb sense of humor.
I know.
It really makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other stuff on here is fine.
It's fine.
Terraform's a good record.
Yeah, it's a good record. Like, I like shellac, so I've listened to all their records. Like, I feel like I have listened to Futurist at some point. Because I think it's on YouTube by now.
Hmm.
But it's not that good. But everything else, like, you know, I like shellac, so I want to listen to them.
So how about that 1000 hertz then?
Bro. How about it?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's their best record.
It's not my favorite, but like, I can't disagree with you really. It's great.
I feel like it rocks the hardest.
It does rock.
I feel like you get more release from this record than any other shellac. There's less teasing.
Yeah, like, straight up. He just wants to kill that guy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, right from the beginning, Prayer to God.
Kill him, alright! Kill him!
Maybe the quintessential shellac song.
Maybe.
You know, it's weird. Prayer to God is a song with universal appeal. I've come to realize this. Like, I can play it for any of my friends, and they love it.
Really?
Yes. Like, people go crazy for that song when I play it for them.
That is really interesting to me.
Yeah. They're like,
because it's
shit.
Really confrontational.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Uncomfortably so. But, I mean... that's the way people feel when they've been in such a situation. So I've heard.
Yeah. There's a few songs about cheating spouses on this album.
Yeah, it's a concept record.
It's about all the hurts.
Yeah. A whole thousand of them.
Yeah, it's a lot of hurts.
A gaggle of hurts.
Gaggle of hurts.
Yeah.
That's the biologist term for hurts.
For hurts.
Gaggle.
Yeah, you got. This is a sad fucking song.
We'll be lucky if I don't bust out crying. Squirrel Song is wonderful, both
Squirrel
because of
great.
How it starts, and also how it ends, with perhaps my favorite shellac lyrics. Because they were squirrels, real squirrels, and there were thousands. This isn't some kind of metaphor. God damn, this is real.
That's so good.
End of song.
That's so good.
God damn, this is real.
Yeah. This band rules.
I love that. This isn't some kind of metaphor.
Yeah, like, just throw it.
Sure, you know, no metaphor here. This is a song about goddamn squirrels.
Yeah, look. This band, you're not gonna get some, you know, pansy-ass poetry. Goddamn.
He's talking about squirrels. Surreal. He's talking about squirrels.
He's talking about thousands of squirrels just out there. And when he's talking about wanting to kill some guy for fucking his wife, he's not screwing around. Kill him.
Fucking kill him.
Fucking kill him. She gets off easy, but the guy. Oh, gosh.
Well, he does say, I think he wants to kill her too.
Yeah,
but
she can go quietly.
She can go quietly by disease or a blow.
Yeah, wear her necklace is clothes.
Mm-hmm. Whereas he doesn't care if it hurts.
So he just used to lay his face on the back of her neck.
I guess.
That's a little weird.
Well, you know, you come up, you hug your spouse from behind, and maybe that's where your face goes.
No, yeah, that's true. I guess.
I've done that before.
Sure. Mm. You know, if you're like around the same height as somebody, it's a little different. You gotta hunch down. I'm just saying.
Man, I'm getting married.
I know, I'm really happy.
It's weird.
I know, but that's great. I'm excited. You're a real grown up.
Yeah. I'm almost 30 and everything.
Damn, bro.
I'm gonna be 30 in 2 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool though.
We'll see how I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I'm doing good, then my 30s I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, then I'm not.
Yeah, but you know, you never know how. Every day is a roll of the dice.
That's right.
Whatever that may mean.
But yeah, the subject of infidelity comes up again on Canaveral.
Yeah. Put his cock in his wife.
Yeah, what on earth would make him stick his cock in my wife?
Probably didn't know. If I had to guess, I would say he didn't know, because I don't want Steve Albini bringing 1,000 hurts down on me.
No, it's too many hurts.
So I wouldn't fuck his wife.
It's a whole gaggle, as we were saying before.
Whole gaggle of hurts. I would Steve Albini, don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to fuck your wife. I don't want you to kill me.
It's very considerate of you.
I try to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Public reassurances that I'm not gonna fuck someone's wife. That's on brand for me.
Mm-hmm. That's part of your
persona.
Yes. I couldn't think of a good word. I was trying to extend the joke, but I ruined it.
There's no good word.
Yeah. There's other good stuff here.
You know that part of Mama Gina where it really rocks?
Yes, I do.
Shit rules.
It's the last minute.
Yeah, and it rules.
You know, Mama Gina's a song that I should object to, but for some reason I like it.
Why should you object to it?
Because it's like doodly, and it doesn't really, like, I don't know.
Shellacker kind of
doodly. It doesn't do much until that last minute, though, you know?
I know, but that last minute is so good that you just allow it.
That is. And that's like the rawest guitar tone on the album, too. Like that buzzsaw guitar that comes up in the last minute. Actually, probably the entire Shellac catalog.
Yeah.
That's an intense moment. Mama Gina's a good song.
Mama Gina's a great song.
Now, I seem to recall you telling me that you think Song Against Itself is the best song on this record.
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Dude. I got two words for you. Bass tone.
Bass tone. Okay.
Whew, yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
You like that bass tone?
You might also recall me telling you that at one point in my life, I cried real tears listening to an isolated bass track of Roundabout. So that
That's
may go a little way to show you know, what a good bass tone can do to a person like me.
You cried on an isolated bass track of Roundabout.
A
We're
roundabout.
talking about the Yes song, just to be clear.
Name another song called Roundabout.
I'm sure there's one.
Well, not that I know of.
Okay.
So yes, I'm talking about the Yes song.
I mean, Roundabout is a good song.
Okay. Yeah, but
It's got that little organ bit.
yeah, it does. Oh,
Have you heard Yo La Tengo's version of Roundabout?
I have. Pretty good.
That's good stuff.
So that's kind of all I got for you.
Okay, just the
I just,
bass tone.
well, I it's the bass tones, the drums. I kind of don't even need the rest.
All right.
Give me that whole thing. I'm gonna cry real tears.
I guess it's just never struck me as a terribly remarkable song.
I just really like it.
You know what song is remarkable, though?
Lay it on me, brother.
Watch Song.
Yeah.
Watch Song is awesome. It's
It's
like, it's almost like James Brownish.
I would not go that far.
Come on, man.
No.
That bass line?
No.
It's one of their most like rhythmic songs. Like it's almost
Okay.
danceable, man. You could dance to it.
Almost Danceable does not make you James Brown. Almost Danceable, no.
But it's funky.
It's good. It's funky.
It kind of reminds me of the Payback a little bit.
All right.
You know what? I'm gonna fucking include a clip here, and I'll let the people be the judge.
Yeah, let the listeners decide. Are you team right or team Jeff? New number order?
All right, we'll just move on.
We got it, yeah.
New number order. Yeah, another example of Shellac's bizarre sense of humor.
Yep.
It features Todd Trainer declaring that the numbers are now in a new order and reading the new number order.
Yep.
It's very funny. It sounds kind of
No,
dumb
it
when I
is.
say
It is.
that, but
It sounds like it should be stupid, but it's really funny. And
I,
it is
it,
stupid, but it's really
oh
funny.
yeah, it's definitely stupid, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I have to say, New Number Order is funny.
I also, I think, before I do anything else, I do need to point out to the listeners that that voice you hear at the very beginning of Prayer to God is Philip Baker Hall,
That's right. That's
Lieutenant
right.
Bookman himself.
Yes.
So,
He likes instant coffee.
yeah. And he likes shellac.
I
Maybe
never had
that's
a
why he's.
problem with the hippies. Rock music was never my bag. But you
But
put
you
on a
put on
pair
a
of
pair of
shoes
shoes.
when you get up into the New York Public Library.
Maybe that turns you on, Seinfeld. You and your good time buddies.
Good time,
Well, I got news for you, Joy Boy. Party time is over.
what
That's
I
one of the
love about
greatest.
that what I love about that is that, like, Jerry Seinfeld doesn't even try to, like, hide his amusement.
No, they just
Like,
shoot him
what,
from the back.
right?
That's
That's
one of the
great.
greatest
That's
moments in TV
for
history.
sure. And then there's Shoe Song, which is also cool.
Very cool. It's got a really good guitar tone.
And also about infidelity.
What happened?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Steve Albini is happily married.
Pretty sure he is too. But maybe he was just watching a lot of like court TV or something. Maybe he was watching a lot of Snapped women's television. That's the show about women who
Okay.
snap.
They can't take it anymore.
Can't take it anymore. Kill their husbands, and then we all look on and are like, wow. What would
Good for
it
her.
take? What would it take? What would it take to make somebody kill their husband? Turns out, usually years of abuse.
Sure. That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do ya. Maybe.
What?
No, I was just speculating.
Okay. Still talking about murder.
Snapped.
I don't know. You want to say anything else about 1,000 Hertz?
No, it's really good. You guys should hear it.
So that brings us to Excellent Italian Greyhound.
Named for Todd Trainer's dog, Uffizi. I know that his dog is named Uffizi because in 2009, the whole Shellac gang and this dog is on Animal Planet to talk about how great this dog is.
It is a pretty
And
great dog. That's the dog on the cover, right?
yes,
That's a great dog.
it's a great dog. You see Todd Trainer like holding it and singing to it and talking about how much he loves it. It's really cute. Apparently the dog likes to run around the recording studio and loves to listen to his owner drumming. Isn't that sweet?
No.
Yeah, and the TV show that they were on refers to Todd Trainer as being a member of a band called Shellac that plays a particularly harsh brand of indie rock known as math rock.
Do you think of shellac as math rock?
No.
I guess, like, I think I even used the word mathematical precision earlier,
You did.
but I don't know. I guess I think of math rock as like being more complex than shellac's music is.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know, I think about like Don Caballero.
Right. Like Yowie and shit like that.
Yowie are great, though. Fucking love Yowie.
Yeah, he's all right.
They're great. I love them.
But RYM has them tagged math rock, so what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just like think of them as doing something different that gets lumped into that. That's all it is.
All right.
So there you go.
That
'Cause like
works.
I don't like Shellac, like they're not super complex. It's just the way that they interact with each other and like the way that they're able to stop and start. Like they're weird. They use rhythm in a weird way, but they're
Right.
not like, you know, they're not being douchebags with their time signatures
Not
exactly.
Dream Theater.
Yeah, thank God.
Right. Really, like, God bless every band that isn't Dream Theater, you know?
Just thank you for doing me a solid.
It's like, oh, thank God you're not Dream Theater.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say to
Or
every
to even
band.
use an example that I like this isn't like, you know, the fucking Black Page by Frank Zappa. You know, they just interact with each other in a weird way.
I don't know what that is, but I'll take your word for it.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't even worry about it.
Okay.
So what do you think about this album?
I think I like it because I like shellac.
That's pretty much also my opinion on it.
It's kind of a fuck off record though. Like they're indulging some of their dumbest ideas on this record, I think.
Explain what you're talking about a little bit.
Well, there's just a lot of goofy shit on here. Genuine Lulabelle, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Featuring Strong Bad.
Yeah. It's not much of a song to begin with, but then it just, breaks down into silence for a couple of minutes with just, voices talking. Including fucking that movie trailer guy. What's his name? You knew it last time we were talking.
I did. God.
Well, that guy.
I could see his face.
And Strong Bad?
Don LaFontaine? The movie trailer guy, Don LaFontaine.
I don't think that was it.
Let me look this up.
Well, it doesn't matter, but, you know, just the guy that does this voice, basically.
It is him. It's Don LaFontaine.
All right. Well, I'm glad we covered that.
So.
And yes, Strong Bad. Why did they do this?
Why not?
Because they thought it was funny, I guess?
Yep.
I don't know. Then, you know, Spoke at the end.
Yeah.
I
do like the shout out to the Who Sell Out.
Right.
Yeah, they do the hold your group together with throat to sound strings.
Which is just them, screaming. Both of them screaming over a very simple sort of punk song.
Mm-hmm.
But, in a kind of dipshit way.
Is there an intelligent way to do that,
I don't know. And then, Elephant, which starts with, a minute of false beginnings. Where they just, play a note and then stop.
That's funny, though.
Right. No, all this stuff is funny. I'm amused by it. But, it's just, I don't know. There's more silliness on this musical silliness on this record, I think, than their previous ones. And you know the end of Radio, which is, again, another long song built on
it's
one
it's really
line.
Good, though.
I love the end of Radio, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that the use of Can You Hear Me Now perhaps has not aged well. And I think that clouded my judgment because I've listened to it again. It's a great fucking song.
It is a great song, and it's a highlight every time that I see them play live.
Yeah.
Because, they improvise lyrics. Todd Trainer, unscrews his snare drum and, walks around the stage beating on it and shit. And they really, turn it into a spectacle. It's cool.
For as much as they're able to turn anything into a spectacle.
sure. But it is a cool song, and I especially like that brief little solo that Steve Albini plays before
mm-hmm.
the last chorus, that meow, meow, meow kind of bit.
Yes.
That part rules. It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I just realized I said elephant earlier when I was talking about the false starts. It's Be Prepared, not Elephant. I don't know why I said that.
I don't know why I accepted it. Because I knew what you were talking about, and then I was
right.
Oh, well, maybe it's that song. I don't know.
All right.
But
it's your job to keep me in check, Caroline.
I feel like you hired the wrong person.
You gotta rein me in.
I thought it was the opposite.
I'm a steer. You gotta rope me.
You're like heifer.
Exactly. I'm the heifer to your Rocco.
Yep.
But, you know, and the stuff that isn't, jokey is pretty standard issue shellac. Steady As She Goes, good song.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's shellac.
Good song, but every time I try to recall it, I think of the Raconteurs song, which is infinitely worse.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good song at all.
It's not.
Man, the raconteurs were terrible.
Yeah.
Just want that to be clear.
Yeah, they should have all been summarily executed for that record.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but...
Broken Boy Soldiers.
Broken Boy... Oh, man.
Yep.
You're bringing back the memories here.
Yeah.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days.
Were they really?
I had some fun in high school.
I didn't.
you had no fun in high school?
That's not true. But it's amazing to me to think of the 4 years that I spent in high school felt infinitely long. And the 4 years between 2012 to now, were nothing, and I barely remember any of it.
Yeah, it's only gonna get worse from here too.
Yep.
Time just keeps going faster the older you get.
And then all of a sudden, time to die.
Yep. I'm looking forward to death.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The swamp brings me down.
Daggers every breath. I'm looking forward to death.
Looking forward to death. Looking forward to death.
Good job.
Thanks. And I mean, I don't know. This album's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
It's got Kitty Pants.
It's got Kitty Pants. It's got good stuff on it. It's just this isn't anybody's first shellac album, because if it is, you're probably not going to like them.
I mean, I could see a noob liking this record. But it definitely feels inconsequential, I guess.
and the next one kind of do feel like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing about shellac also, is that they're very clearly not a band that's trying to make masterpieces, you know?
Right.
They very much strike me as a hobbyist band, you know? Like Steve Albini and Bob Weston sort of having some fun cranking out records.
And Todd Traynor has another job. He does something else.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or at least did for a while.
Mm.
He's not a... I don't think he's a full-time... He's certainly not a full-time shellac man.
Well, you couldn't be if you wanted to.
No, he couldn't.
Because they only release an album once every 7 years.
Yeah, he'd be, you know, he'd be in the poorhouse.
The poorhouse. So, do you have anything else to say about this?
No, I will say I'm definitely going to post a link to that Animal Planet thing, because if you haven't seen it, it's tons of fun.
All right.
So.
And that brings us to the latest.
Dude Incredible.
Dude Incredible. Great name for an album, certainly.
I listened to it when it came out. I listened to it before we did this episode. And yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good
I had the same experience.
I was excited when it came out.
I wasn't really.
Even though, I wasn't expecting much, I was just happy that they were doing something.
Sure, sure. And I mean, it's shellac.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
I don't have a whole lot to say about it, to be totally honest.
I do like the title track.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is fine.
I like riding bikes.
Yeah, riding bikes is funny. You came
just
and me
yelling
is
about riding bikes.
You came and me is sort of funny. I like the call and response on that. It's dumb as hell, but
it's sort of another example of shellac's weird sense of humor. There's three song titles on here with the word surveyor in it.
Yep.
I can only interpret that as a joke of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just a strange joke. I just thought the word surveyor was funny, so they included it in three song titles.
It kind of is funny.
Yeah, no, I'm chuckling now talking about it.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, maybe they had a real reason for it.
I don't think they have a real reason for any
For
of it.
much, for much, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
One good thing about this album, it's only a half hour long.
That's right.
So I appreciate that.
I think all their albums are under 40 minutes, or at least close to it, if not.
Exo Italian Greyhound is 42
Ah.
minutes, but I think that's the only one. All the other ones are like, like 30 in the 35-minute range.
Right.
D Dude Incredible is the shortest one.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
This album's fine.
It's fine. Like, it's not a bad album. It's just like, it's more shellac, and that's kind of, if that sounds really exciting to you, then listen to it. You'll have fun with it. You might. It's not going to change your life. If more shellac, you hear that prospect, and you're like, I'm good. I'm good with what I got. You're not missing out on that much.
You know who likes shellac more than Big Black?
Who?
Andrew.
I'm sure he does.
I just.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Our friend with the opinions, Andrew, does he like Right Man more than both of them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he likes shellac most.
I do gotta say, I fucking love Two Nuns and a Pack Mule. It's not better than Big Black, but I fucking love it.
It's good, but I've never held it up there with Big Black.
Like, I understand why people feel that way, but for me, I just really love it. Some stuff hits you at the right time, and you just really latch onto it. And
I suppose.
that was that album for
Yeah,
me.
all right. I mean, I'm not casting aspersions on your taste here.
Well, you seem to do that plenty.
No, that's only when you have like egregious opinions.
Name two.
Two egregious opinions you have.
Yeah.
You like Atrocity Exhibition by Joy Division,
Yeah, I do. The
which is
drum
a
part sounds like Plant Man.
it's a terrible song.
It's not a terrible song.
And trying to think of the most outrageous things you've said on this
I
podcast.
can think of it right off the top of my head, and I'm not. But you gotta fight for it.
Okay.
You gotta fight for it. Tell me. And then I'll tell you what I was thinking of.
I don't know, dude. I'm blanking, to be honest.
I like Billy Joel!
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that just goes without saying. I mean, I was thinking more specific than that, I guess.
Guys, if you haven't, I mean,
You like lots of dumb bands. See our I Hate Music Month for examples.
also our fish episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You
You
forget
like
about that
fish,
one.
right? Yeah. It's weird that you like fish, because usually when I meet somebody that likes fish, I'm like, okay, we have nothing in common in terms of music taste. Like, that's usually a pretty good indicator.
Yeah.
Like, okay, musically we're not on the same page. But apart from fish, we have much in common, so
A lot, even.
yeah,
Like,
sure.
but the thing of it is I got into fish when I was like 15. And I feel like if that were not the case, like if I were coming in blind on fish as an adult, it wouldn't do anything for me. That's what it is. So,
Fair enough.
yeah.
All right, I think we're done here.
I do too. That's shellac.
Shellac.
Now nobody ever needs to talk about them again. We
That's
have we
true. We covered everything.
we covered everything there is.
The topic is exhausted.
Yep.
I mean, what we applied our devastating critical acumen to shellac. There's nothing left to uncover. There's nothing left to say.
If
Honestly,
you
they shouldn't even release any more music.
Yeah, they should look at it. They should listen to this and be like, well, they've closed the book.
Right.
What more is there to do?
It's the end of shellac.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now?
Exactly. Snare drum. All right, folks. Next week, we got something good for you, in my opinion.
Something cooking.
Yep. Be prepared, as shellac would say.
Shellac or Jeremy Irons playing a cartoon lion.
That's right. Or a Boy Scout.
Yeah. Or a Girl Scout.
Or, I thought that was the Boy Scout motto.
Well, they both do it.
Girl Scouts say that too?
I was a Girl Scout, they do say it.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We have to be prepared for stuff too.
That's, yeah, sure. Okay. Point taken.
So, there you go.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
This is a sad fucking song. We'll be lucky if I don't bust out crying.